welcome Hoosier Nation to our sixth episode of a new show called The Hoosier Sound. I am your host, Noah Freeman, and I am delighted to present you with this brand new podcast. I am here with Matt Lukens and Noah Skibbe, and we're here to give you the scoop of some IU sports. We are an IU-centered podcast that focuses on IU sports such as basketball, football, and more from the point of view of a student or a young adult. To end each show, we will also give our view on hot takes from around the world of sports. We will be going live every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. And to all our live listeners out there, we are sorry about the time change, but we had a few requests to move it up a little bit for that NBA season tip-off with the Cavs-Celtics at 8. But if you miss us live, you can subscribe to our various networks so you can listen on your own time. We're now on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and our live stream will be posted to our YouTube page after each recording. All you got to do is search for The Hoosier Sound wherever you listen to podcasts and just hit subscribe. Or if you're watching the live stream right now, just click that little box in the right-hand corner and you'll be subscribed. The videos will then pop up for you when they're finished. It's really simple, really easy. It'll mean a lot to us if you guys just hit that subscribe button. Good news. We have just been approved today to be on iHeartRadio. So if you guys search for us there, you'll be able to listen to our podcast on iHeartRadio. Make sure you check it out and tell your friends so you can all listen on iHeartRadio. But social media is also big for us, and we post updates for you guys in Facebook and Twitter. So if you didn't get that update that we were going just 30 minutes early, make sure you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, and then you get those updates.
They wouldn't know that yet.
Make sure you give us a like and a follow, as well as subscribe and our YouTube account. All the information is in the description below. Lastly, you can also check out our website, thehoosiersound.wordpress.com, to find all of our information in one place. All right, it's time for some sports talk. This past weekend, the Hoosiers lost a heartbreaker in Bloomington against Michigan, 27-20 in overtime. Matt, start us off with your first impressions from that game.
All right, so first impression after Ramsey threw up a prayer, which reminded me a lot of Xander throwing up a prayer against Ohio State 2 years ago. And all the other close games IU has ever had with ranked opponents, just throwing up a prayer at the last second, hoping that somebody catches it, was that they missed a pass interference call. So that leads me to my first topic of what recap is, and the fact that the refs were so darn bad. So bad. They were so awful.
I like to make it first.
For both sides. For both sides. It wasn't just us that got screwed, because Michigan had, what, 160? They had 16 penalties for like 180 yards.
155, I think, was the total at the end. Something like that.
It was a Michigan record. 155.
Yeah, it was a Michigan record for penalties. And then somehow we got a pass interference call, an interception, in which we were both arms turned around, both went for the ball, and our guy got him. Where is the pass interference? There's nothing. Nothing. There's no pass interference. And then he was in on the onside kick, no matter what you say. And what is establishing yourself back in bounds? I'm sorry. I thought if you catch it on your second step in bounds, that would be count as two steps in bounds. Therefore, you would have caught the ball.
At least the concept of the refs this weekend was at least not just in our game. If you saw that Patriots Jets game, then
oh my,
it was a bad weekend for umpires/referees.
Yeah,
just all around.
They officiated a game.
That's true. Yeah, even the some of the baseball posts.
Baseball umps. I'm not even going to start the baseball umps.
We're close calls.
Okay. In the Cubs-Dodgers game.
Yeah, not, I don't want to talk about it. But anyways, second point, off of the rant about the refs, no turnovers is very concerning, even though they obviously stole one away from us. That would have been momentum changing. Like, oh, but they didn't score on that. I'm ranting again. Anyways, they stole one away from us. Our defense needs to get our offense extra possessions. That's how you win games. To win the turnover battle. We're not winning because we're not getting any. So that's bad. And then Ramsey threw two picks. One was his fault. One was a desperation heave.
Yeah.
So you can't really count the second one.
Because it was the last play of the game.
Yes.
Let's see.
And I know Michigan's run defense is good, but we couldn't do anything. Nothing. What do we have, like 50 rushing yards at the most? And most of them must have been Ramsey.
Yeah, we had 85 total.
85 total, and I guarantee you most of them were Ramsey rushing the ball. Our running backs didn't do anything. Like, I think the longest run we had was probably like 5 yards. Yeah, we couldn't run, and then we allowed a lot of running. Yeah. 200-yard game.
Yes. Something like that.
It's the second freshman this year to run for 200 yards on us.
Well, I think we had given up 200 yards for the entire season up to that point.
No, because J.K. Dobbins ran for 200 yards on us, 230 yards on us opening night.
At least.
That's two freshman running backs.
Yeah, Higdon had 200 yards total himself. But at least out of his defense, he was literally the only person on both sides of the ball that was doing literally anything.
No, I know. And I understand that. But still, that's the second time this season that a freshman running back's gotten 200 yards. That's not acceptable at all. Like, we kept Saquon in check. Why are these running backs not being kept in check? Like, it wasn't like Michigan's offense was throwing the ball around the field. Not like they have, like, Trace McSorley back there who's pretty good at throwing the deep ball. Where's our run defense? And then on the last play in overtime on defense, why does the running back break contain? It's a draw to the left. It was obviously a run play. There's no wide receivers out there. Why does our defense just not – why is our defense not contained?
Especially when O'Korn is first, like, the backup quarterback, and he throws interceptions. So we knew that they were going to hand the ball off the whole game, basically.
Right. I don't know. And then where are the big plays on offense? I know we had one stolen away from us from Simi. But it seems like all of our games, they're either 20 yards or less, which is fine. And I understand that's what Ramsey does. But, like, you got to take some shots down the field. It's like we're not going to win big games. We don't make big plays. It's just not going to happen. So that's the negatives. Positive, I guess I can get out of this, is if we force Michigan to overtime, I think Michigan's – better than Michigan State, even though Michigan State beat them. Because I think Michigan had a bad game. And like the whole their quarterback getting, you know, broken and that part probably hurt them a bit. So I think we have a better shot against Michigan State. But it's in Michigan State. That preview is next, but we'll get to that. But yeah.
Yeah, my initial and biggest comment was, regardless of any of the refs and bad calls during the game, those calls did not happen in overtime. So regardless of what happened, IU did lose. They made themselves lose in overtime. Yep. The very first play that Michigan had, literally just the first play, they had that 25-yard run for a touchdown that almost wasn't even close because there was no Indiana guy to literally catch him at all. It wasn't even like he just broke tackles. It was just a bad defensive play. And then when we turn around, we got a lucky penalty to move us forward. Then we had a big play to where it was second and one on the 2 yard line. So basically, we have five plays to go 2 yards. We get the first down the next play, and then it's first and one on the one. Basically, all we have to do is score to keep the game going. And first play, -1 yard. Second play, -1 yards. Third down, incomplete pass. Fourth down, as we know, he threw the ball away, and it was an interception. But I don't understand why, because those runs, like most, even a couple, they were like in shotgun formation. Why don't we just go under? I know Ramsey doesn't like to be under center as much, but why don't just put him under center? Put Lego under center for all I care. Go in the I formation. That's what the NFL does. It's easy to get 1 yard when you have I formation. Put a fullback. I know Nate is still injured, but like put T-Gray Scales in for all I care. Just give someone the ball. Yeah. No, they do that in the NFL a lot. Giving the linebacker is not uncommon, just to literally go and push the pile, or have Ramsey QB sneak it and have the two people behind them push the pile in.
Well, this is where I think we miss Tyler Nate the most. He's so big. He's like an offensive lineman running at you. He would probably be able to get that 1 yard.
Yeah, no, right. That's what I mean.
And since he was injured, in that situation, I think that's we get it. Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Instead of even since we didn't have him, but why not give it to another guy? Give it to a defensive lineman. Like, give it to some big guy, and not just giving it to our running backs can do well at some points, but just give it to a big guy to push it in. Anyway. But so the good parts to get into overtime, IU did fight back. The last 3.5 minutes, the 10 points that we scored in the last 3.5 minutes were literally the first points given up by the Michigan defense in the fourth quarter, which is pretty cool. Like the first 5 games, no team had scored any points at all on Michigan's defense. Last 3.5 minutes, IU scored 10 points. And through all of that, they still came back and tied it. Peyton Ramsey, props to him. He's a freshman quarterback, still getting used to it, and he was still able to fight back. Most freshman quarterbacks will just kind of – we wouldn't have even gotten maybe one of those scores to try and bring it back. So props to Ramsey. But reasons we didn't finish in regulation. There were a few times, a few drives and stuff that we could have finished in regulation. My first thing was, it seemed like we were never able to convert and get a first down before it was third down. It seemed like in the second half, literally every single drive in like 20 seconds, it was third down. It was third down. It was third down. The only conversions we got were on a lot of penalties, like we talked about, but we had 17 third down attempts. That's a lot of third down attempts, and we couldn't convert as much as we should have. And to add on to that, our running game didn't exist at all, like Matt talked about. We already talked about some of the bad calls that didn't decide the outcome, but yeah, it really hurt. It kind of took the momentum away. And to echo Matt, took another good point, was we couldn't force a turnover from them. We talked about last week, Michigan has committed 12 turnovers. They committed 5 turnovers last week. We couldn't even get one. It's like, just echoing what Matt said, you got to give the offense more time, because Michigan had 10 more minutes of time of possession than we did, and that's just something we can't have. But a quick positive takeaway before we go into Michigan State, we had more total offense than any other opponent Michigan has faced. So our offense was actually still going against that top Michigan defense, the 5th in the country. And our defense stopped their offense for their second most yards in total offense. And the only other school that was able to hold Michigan for fewer yards was Michigan State, and basically their entire second half didn't count because of the rain. So basically we could say IU had the most offense and held Michigan to the least amount of yards out of all the teams Michigan has faced. So that's pretty good, and that's pretty as even though we talk about moral victories and whatnot, that was still a positive upside. But let's move on. That was a long segment. The Hoosiers they travel to East Lansing to face number 18 Michigan State. I'll start us off first. They're not nearly the same MSU team that we saw last year. Their only loss this year was to Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is now ranked 13th in the nation, and they're doing really well. They could possibly, if they win the rest of their games, they could actually get into that playoffs. But also they're almost the same team as Michigan that we just saw in total offense. Michigan State is ranked 89th in the nation, and actually IU is ranked 90th. And we have just 15 less yards of total offense than Michigan State. So both of IU and Michigan State's offense are very the same. We just pass more, they run more. So like Matt talked about, that run defense is going to, they have to get it together. Otherwise, we are not going to have any chance winning in East Lansing, because winning in East Lansing is extremely hard. Michigan State has won the last six in East Lansing, going all the way back to 01. Then it's like another 20 years after that. So we rarely win at Michigan State. Our offense, or Michigan State's offense, sorry, they have a great rush defense and we have a terrible rushing game. They have the seventh best rush defense in the nation. So it's very comparable to Michigan. Their offense is actually two away from Michigan, down in the about 98th. Michigan State is 98th in pass defense. Michigan is 100. So actually, Michigan State is almost a carbon copy, more or less, of Michigan. So we can see more of the same stuff. Ramsey probably going to throw a little more, or put Lego in to throw some more, because we're not going to be able to run on Michigan State in Michigan State. We're coming into a hot MSU team with a lot of confidence. The only way we're going to pull out a win is to have a mistake-free game, which we haven't had yet, and we need some much-needed turnovers. Skibby, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and to reiterate what you're talking about, just going to MSU, this is going to be a tough road game. I mean, Michigan State, for anybody, especially lately under Antonio, it's way harder than it used to be to go up to East Lansing. So, and I want to say, I mean, I've been saying it all year about Michigan State. They're definitely not the same team that went 3-9 last year. I was saying this last year as I was watching them go 3-9. I said, yeah, maybe they're going to go 3-9 this year, but next year there's a good chance they can make it to a New Year's Six game, because that team isn't going to be that bad again. So I'm not surprised at all that they're going to be ranked, and that it's going to be another one of those opportunities for IU to try to knock off a ranked team. So the last time that we went to MSU, I know you guys were there for that one.
Yep.
But I remember watching. I was still in high school when that happened. But I mean, if I remember correctly, we were in that game for till about like a little less than halfway through the fourth quarter. I mean, we were kind of there. I mean, always within striking distance, it seemed, of them. It's just that team was a team that ended up going to the playoff that year. Mm-hmm. And
we were tied in the fourth quarter.
We were within striking distance of going to MSU and beating and getting the old brass platoon from a team that ended up going to the playoff that year as the Big Ten champion.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that was, in my opinion, I think that was a worse IU team. I think this IU team is a little bit better than that team. So, yeah. And I think that this MSU team is nowhere near, like, as I've been kind of building it up, I don't think they're a playoff contender compared to the other team. That's like Kyle Cook. I mean, I don't know. I think that team was more senior-laden than this team. I mean, you got Kyle Cook, who's in the NFL right now. Yeah. He started a playoff game last year. So, or did I say Kyle? I don't know. But he – did I say Kyle Cook? I don't know what I said.
Yeah. Is your guy with it?
Yeah, he's a guy from high school. I mean, shout out to him. But I mean, that team was better. So, I think – If we're going off what happened a few years ago, then this should bode well for IU, and I think it could bode well for us on offense. Like we've been hearkening, we need to be way more efficient than we are, and that kind of goes with time of possession. I know that we want to start moving the ball faster, but when you get 3 yards on your first two run attempts right between the tackles, and you're on 3rd and 7, and then you have to throw, and you're going to get incompletions. Yeah, that's going to lead to 10-second possessions. It's just
almost every play, too, it seemed like.
It to me, at least, I feel like I can predict what they're going to do, and it's going to run it twice, and then they're going to throw it to try to get a first down. And, I mean, that can work against Charleston Southern and Georgia Southern, but it's not going to work against these ranked Big Ten teams, these teams that you're going to be playing every year in the Big Ten East. So we need to just be more efficient. I think Ramsey's going to throw more, like you said, and I agree. I mean, I didn't think about it, but maybe if bringing Lego in, I mean, he was the quarterback that beat him last year. I mean, they're a little bit, they are different, but mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? He caught a touchdown last year. Maybe he'll do it again. Ramsey spreads it really well. So just getting it, he throws to different receivers. I mean, Simi Cobb always seems to come up with a big catch, but he throws it out to Timian, to Ian Thomas. He'll check it down to the running backs. I mean, he's very efficient. He goes through his reads, and that's good. I think the one thing that if IU could if Peyton Ramsey could learn to do effectively is if we could run a good read option, this offense would be exponentially better. I mean, there's so many times where he's handing it off down the middle and then he's faking it as if he's running to the side. And there's nobody out there that's even buying it. I mean, maybe it's a little different when a cornerback actually sees the football, but nobody expects him to run out to the outside. If you can do a read option, he says, okay, cool, or fake it. There'd be a good amount of times maybe against a Michigan State where they might not buy it. And then we're getting good chunks of yardage. We get maybe 15 yard runs. And that's the kind of stuff that we need if we're going to beat Michigan State on the road. The defense, as we talked about with Michigan, they have to be better. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you can't give up 200 more yards to a team in Michigan or else I'm going to explode because it's the worst state in the United States. it smells like hot dog water. And I don't know if we're ever going to get them. We could probably change the name to the turnover show are you going to get a turnover? Because it's kind of what we talk about every week. Like you said, if you can't get turnovers, you can't expect to win games against ranked teams. No. So that we're going to have to see. We're going to have to watch out and see if maybe some of the – which surprises me with people like Tigre Scales, Chase Jutra, and Rashard Fant, some of the best defenders in the Big Ten, and yet we can't turn the ball over. It's just – I don't know. I don't know. I think
– as I say, that? It's like – 90% skill and like 110% luck.
It's I don't know. Turnovers are, I don't know how your math word 200%, but I mean, yeah, I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You could say 90% luck and 10%. I don't know. But yeah, I think we can keep it close. I don't know if we're going to win, but I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. I'm excited this Saturday.
For IU football, it's the turnover and rushing game show. Let's move on to some basketball. Next couple segments are basketball related. Hoosier hysteria, guys. College basketball is finally starting. We got 4 days away. Hoosier hysteria this Saturday. Tip off 7 p.m. Matt and Skibby, they're going to give you some details about the event and what to look for. So Matt starts off.
Well, I'm going to get you with what to look for. So I'm really excited to see the boys after summer. You know, they've come back. They've got some tans on them. You know, they've been working on that beach bod. So yeah, they're back. I'm really excited. The first person I'm really excited to see is obviously my boy, Deron Davis. See how much different he looks in an IU uniform compared to what he has looked in the past, especially since, I think the last, 20 pounds,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something crazy. So he's gonna be a lot skinnier. That's gonna be fun. Of course, I'm sure they're gonna have a dunk contest. Am I right? They're gonna have a dunk contest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm gonna look at Freddie. Justin Smith is known for his dunking ability. So Justin as well, and then of course my boy Clifton. See how they do in the dunk contest. And then let's see. What else do I got here? It'll be fun to see which teams line up and what teams they put out on the court, what the 5-on-5s are for the scrimmages, which Noah will talk about. But there's a lot more scrimmages this year. And it'll be fun to see them run and see what offense they're running and what's the style. So I'm excited to see that.
It'll be cool to see what Archie brings like to the public, because this is his besides just those media days, it's his first time being with the fans and everything, so that'll be really cool. Skibby.
Overall I'm pretty excited. I mean, I'm not gonna be able to go, but I very much would like to go, but I'm excited to see some highlights and just some stuff later, and very much some of the same stuff as Matt. I'm excited to see what kind of team is going to come out, at least. And I mean, it's a very loose environment, but also with Archie, apparently it's supposed to be more of a scrimmage type deal that's going to happen. Not as much kind of, you know, pop and circumstance as has been in the past. So yeah. I'm excited to see. This is the first time we're really going to see and have a chance to watch them play actual basketball, and I want to see how this turns out. And then progressively, we're going to get to scrimmages and then like exhibition games and then the regular season. So this will be fun to watch. Just like a few details, though, if you are planning on going to the game or to Hoosier Hysteria. The doors are going to open at 5:30. I would recommend getting there a little bit earlier, seeing as people are going to be camping out 2 days ahead of time.
Just a little earlier.
It's bananas. So try to get there early, as early as you can, if you really want to get good seats and have a good time. I mean, even if you're in the nosebleeds, should be an awesome time. If you are worried about watching the IU-MSU game, and you're like, oh man, I got to watch it on my phone or something.
Kicks off at 3:30 on Saturday.
Yeah, so it should be, I would assume it's going to be going still by the time the doors open. And so from what we've heard, that they will be showing the game on the big screen up until around like 6:45. Even if the game goes that long, I would think that the game would end by then or relatively soon to that. But if it's still going, they'll do that, and then they'll get going into the game or in the scrimmage, which is supposed to start around 7:45. Before that, they're gonna blow some fireworks up and do some cool, crazy crap. Who knows? But
of course.
I mean, this is gonna be hyped. I mean, like I said, I'm not gonna have as much pomp and stuff. This is gonna be super fun. It's supposed to be as big as 2012 when we were ranked number one heading into heading in preseason. So, I mean, this is big. I'm really excited, and I'm excited for the basketball season to officially get started. At least I think our first exhibition game is the 27th. So it's next Friday. It's go time.
If you're going, keep a lookout for our recruits. Looking at Darius Garland and Romeo Langford. We got to get some chants going in Assembly Hall. We got a one-up Kentucky, and there's Zion Williamson chants. So let's do that.
And the assistant athletic director did say that they are not allowed to say anything, but as a student, they said, feel free to introduce yourself to these recruits. But for the how big this Hoosier Hysteria is supposed to be, they're projecting, like Skibby said, being as big as the 2012 year. That year, it was standing room only, basically. So if you want to come, get here early, because there's a good chance that it could just be standing room early, which would be incredible. But let's get to some professional basketball. Next up, the NBA season is literally about to tip off in 44 minutes. Celtics and Cavs. We're all going to give you a 34 minutes. Sorry. We're going to give you some previews and predictions for what we hope is going to be an exciting NBA season. Skibby, start us off with your predictions for the NBA MVP by the end of the year.
All right. So I'm going to give you three names. I guess we're all going to give you three names, and then one of them I think is going to win the MVP. I'm springing this on you. We talked about it a little bit before the show. I'm changing one of my names now that I think about it later. I think that, first of all, Kawhi Leonard is going to be one of the candidates. He seems, over the past years, that he always is. He's a premier defender. There's a defensive player of the year candidate every year. He just knows what he's doing. One of the few NBA players that is a defensive specialist. But as well, he can score. He's the heartbeat of that team. The face of that franchise in San Antonio. If he's not on the court, or if he's not playing well, they usually don't play well. We saw that in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors last year when he went down with injury. So, and I think that just showed to me his value. For me, the MVP most valuable player is who's most valuable to their team. That's kind of how I interpret it. I know a lot of people do other things; they interpret it different ways. But I think to me that showed just how important Kawhi Leonard is to San Antonio Spurs. Another name that I was, this is the new name. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo.
I have actually seen him play a few years. I'm a Lakers fan. So a few years ago, I went to my first Lakers game in Milwaukee, and he was on the team. But the thing was, he wasn't like big yet. I think it was either his rookie year or his second year, something like that.
Yeah.
And if you think that he was exciting now, and that he could just slam a ball through that hoop like nobody's business now, you should have seen him a few years ago, because he was still doing it then. It was so fun. It got to Kobe wasn't playing, so I was like, well, why am I even here? And then this guy's out there balling it. I think they went to overtime and the Bucks won, but he was exciting. Everybody in Milwaukee has seemed to love him forever, and he's just now getting the national attention, and he's kind of their big guy in Milwaukee, and now very for the playoff seating wide open East, I think he could really make that team rise up to get a pretty good seed, depending on if some other things happen throughout the East. So I expect him to be a candidate, especially coming off of his big first All-Star season last year. But my eventual MVP is, I think, and it's, none of these guys have been on these like big super teams like the Warriors, the Thunder, the Cavs, or anything like that, because I don't think that they have as much value compared to their other teammates. So I think that John Wall is going to end up being the NBA MVP this year, because I think he could be very similar to what Russell Westbrook did last year and kind of just take over games that he's in. Because, I mean, the Wizards have good core pieces around him, but compared to other stars in the NBA, he's one of those players that he's really the only big star on their team. So I think he is going to be up there. He just signed his huge contract, so now he's got to go out there and earn it. I mean, like, he's got it, so he's making the money, but now he's going to show everybody that the Wizards aren't stupid for doing it. So he's going to go out there. I think since he is the star, the Wizards go where he goes. If he's having a bad day, they're not going to have it. And if he gets hurt, then we could really see the Wizards tumble out of the playoffs, maybe wide open East. I mean, last year, averaging 23 points, 10 assists. He's already averaging a double-double. I mean, he could easily get up there with his rebounds, even more points, more assists. I don't know. I think the ceiling is not too he's gonna break through the ceiling. It's gonna be glass everywhere. It's gonna be bananas. John Wall, and he can take the Wizards to the conference finals. I really think so. So we will see. That's my pick.
All right. So first, I have LeBron. Yeah, you could say it's like a stereotypical pick, but there's no Kyrie. There's new players around the team. He is the constant on that team. Like we talked about, just that kind of major piece that Skibby was talking about, that major piece with just some good pieces around it, especially being the fact that there are so many new players on the Cavs, that gives him a good chance to still be that leader and just still take over, because LeBron's not going to die away that much. If he gets a little worse than he did last year, it's going to be very, very, very minuscule. Next, I had John Wall again. I had him in the MVP race also, because a lot of people are thinking, like, how is this plausible? People know who John Wall is, but they don't see him as like one of the best players in the NBA, but it's a lot more plausible and realistic than a lot of people think. Skibby had a lot of good comments, but a couple extra things. He's never gotten the attention that he really deserves for the kind of player that he is, because the Wizards have never really been on national television until just last year. And this year they almost doubled their national TV games. So he's going to get even a lot more exposure than he's gotten this past summer. He's had really good summer workouts, but this past summer, if you think he's gotten better in the last two-ish years, this past summer, he said he's like doubled his summer workout. He's had the best summer that he's ever had, and he's about to break out. He's in the heat of his prime, literally the heat of his prime. He's the focus on a pretty good Wizards team, and he now has those core pieces like Beal and Otto that are rising stars themselves, and they're not going to be John Wall, but just because they're there, they can make him look good. He gives assists. I think he averaged about 10 assists last year. I think he even get up 11, 12, 13 assists.
Yeah,
bring up that point stuff. And I think he's a lot a more realistic than a lot of people thinks. But my overall MVP, Kawhi Leonard. The Spurs, they're a good team. The Spurs are never a bad team, but they aren't as good as they normally are. There's not as like the Kawhi is the face of the Spurs now. It's kind of not like the Warriors where you have a bunch of people that make the face of it. Kawhi is that guy. He's becoming even better. He's getting into even more of his prime, more and more each year. And you see those MVP winners on a team where they do most of the work. I think Kawhi is going to do most of the work there. I think we all have him on our list, so I'm not going to talk about him too long, but he's really coming close to being the best player in the league. So that's my pick for the MVP. Matt, give us your quick thoughts on your MVP finals.
All right. My quick thoughts on MVP. Of course, I got LeBron, but I'm coming in from the standpoint of not just what he does on the court, but off the court, and off the court, particularly with other people. So I'm looking at, let's see if Derrick Rose's career gets resurrected. That's not going to be put on Ty Lue that it's going to be credit given to LeBron for taking him under his wing and showing him, like, I don't know, workout, whatever he's doing to try to, you know, get D-Rose back to being D-Rose. And then, so that's my case for LeBron, along with his obviously superstar stats, whatever he does. And then second, I have Giannis, obviously, because Giannis is the only person on this team. So anything that the Bucks do is going to be attributed to Giannis. Yeah, he has Chris Middleton and Jabari Parker, but Jabari Parker's basically in a wheelchair for most of the time. And then Chris Middleton, while he's a great shooting guard, is very underrated. So most of that credit will be given to Giannis. We'll see how their season goes, especially in a weak East. And then my third pick, something none of y'all have talked about, which is Anthony Davis.
Ooh,
and the reason I picked Anthony Davis is because if New Orleans ends up doing really well in the Western Conference, which is a tough Western Conference, and Anthony Davis plays great defense and clicks with Boogie on offense, I think we could be seeing an Anthony Davis MVP. Finally, we've been talking about this. I feel like NBA fans have been talking about Anthony Davis being MVP since he came into the league, what, like 4 or 5 years ago? I think this is the year. If there's any chance, you have all these stars on multiple teams. Yes, he has a star on his team, but he is the face of the Pelicans, and he's the best big guy in the league. So I think if there's any year, it's this year.
All right. Next and final segment real quick. The NBA is kind of in a weird place right now where the Warriors are always going to be that heavily favored team to win the NBA Finals and without much competition. So for our final segment, Skip, you give us your thoughts on if anyone's going to take them down, basically.
Yeah, dude, of course the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, I'm kidding.
Lonzo with the ball.
Lonzo with this shot. No, but as much as I would love to see that because I love my Lakers and I'm just ready for them to stop being terrible, I think the team that is most likely is going to be San Antonio because, I mean, I will say that I think they're not as good as they have been in the past just because, I mean, people are getting older, they're losing some guys, but I still think that the Spurs come in year in and year out, you'd be a fool to say that the Spurs are not a contender to come out of the West. I mean, even with the Warriors. Because think about it, last year, they had them, what was it, 30 or 20 on the Warriors at halftime in game one in in Oracle Arena before Kawhi got hurt.
I got injured.
I mean, and I don't know, I would venture a guess to say that they would probably win that game if Kawhi doesn't get hurt. And I don't know if they win that series, but I mean, the series goes more than, they don't get swept. I guarantee that. So I think that with him healthy coming back, that should help them. A possible MVP guy, so we'll see what happens there. And then Greg Popovich is too good of a coach. One of his all-time great head coach. He's never not been to the playoffs. I mean, that kind of streak is just unimaginable. He's been there. There's nothing's going to faze him. So I like him. I think he's personally the best coach in the NBA right now. So, I mean, I think that helps them, and I'll say this though, like you said, the Warriors I think are the favorite, and I think they're going to end up winning the finals. But if there's a team to beat them, it's going to be the Spurs.
Yeah, I'm going to keep mine short and simple. I don't think anyone's going to knock the Warriors down. I don't think it's even going to be much of a competition. Yeah, the West has gotten more powerful, and the top is a lot more balanced than it normally is. There are going to be teams to challenge them, like the Rockets, the Spurs, OKC, even the Nuggets. Honestly, the Nuggets are a team that's going to be a lot higher on people's minds. I don't think the Warriors are going to win 70-plus games because of those teams. I think they're going to win less games, but I don't think it means that they're going to lose the NBA Finals. And even in the East, you still got the Cavs, maybe the Celtics, but it's going to be a hard-fought playoffs, a lot more interesting than the last few years where the Warriors basically sweep their way to winning the championship. But I don't think anyone's going to beat the Warriors until someone on their team leaves, which might be Klay Thompson soon when his contract ends.
To the Lakers. Matt.
Yeah. All right. So remember when I alluded to my hot take? Here's my hot take.
Here it is.
So I think that the team best equipped to dethroning the Warriors is the Nuggets. You just alluded to them. I'm going to talk about them for a bit. Here it goes. So if there's one team in the West that could give the Warriors fits, it's going to be the Denver Nuggets. Yes, Denver. Where have they been? So first off, Gary Harris, up-and-coming superstar. We're looking at three-point shooter. He's going to be really good, looking to be like Klay Thompson-esque D and 3-and-D guy. And then, of course, you have the best big man, passing big man in the league, and Jokic, who, with their new pickup in the offseason, Paul Millsap, makes one of the best front courts in the NBA. They also have a really good depth in the front court with Chandler and Plumlee. And they also have really young guards in Jamal Murray and Moutier, who fit their run-and-gun offense. They're not going to care about defense. They're going to try to outscore the Warriors, which if there's anyone that can do it, is a team with big guys that can shoot, pass, move, dribble, do everything on offense. And then obviously there's the Cavs if they get to the finals. And that all the Cavs season all comes down to is Isaiah Thomas healthy? Does he come back in time? Does he fit in? If he does, then I can see the Cavs competing against the Warriors and giving a better shot than they did last year. But I still think the Warriors will probably win.
Yep. We're going to let you go to get to that tip-off. So that about wraps it up for our sixth show of the Hoosier Sound. Thank you so much for joining us, and please feel free to add suggestions in the comment section or contact us through our website. A reminder to follow us on Twitter at the Hoosier Sound, like our Facebook page, as well as subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe on either Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio now, and leave us a review. All the links are in the description below. Visit us at our website, thehoosiersound.wordpress.com, to find all of our information regarding our podcast, and stay tuned for updates through social media. As always, send us your questions as the audience, and so be sure to comment, chat, or send us a message on what questions you have, and we'll get to them on our next show. We have a poll up right now on Twitter asking for what time would be best for you as the audience to listen to our live stream. We want to cater to you guys as much as possible, so just find us on Twitter and vote for either 7:30, 8, 8:30, or 9. Let us know which time, and we'll try and get as much of a live audience as possible. But lastly, if you enjoy the show, please leave us a review, because the more reviews we have, the more our podcast grows. And that really is how it works. Tell a friend about us, share our links, and it really does help us so we can keep getting you that top-notch content. But thank you for listening, Hoosier Nation, and we'll see you next time.